Welcome to Life Transformation Radio. This show is all about life transformations and our journey from where we were to why we are doing what we are doing today. We will discuss the hiccups, the roller coasters, and the blood, sweat, and tears that has been poured out while discovering our purpose. It is all about our transformations. Here is your host, Sean Douglas.
Welcome, my friends, to another episode of Life Transformation Radio. I am your host, Master Resilience Implementer, TEDx Speaker, Performance Enhancement Expert, and author, Sean Douglas. This show is currently heard in over 48 countries, such as the U.S., India, Canada, France, Australia, Panama, Belgium, New Zealand, Japan. So thank you to those who are listening from around the world. Life Transformation Radio is all about our transformation. Here, we tell the stories of why we're doing what we're doing. We highlight that transformational moment that changed our lives and how we use these to help transform others and elevate their lives as well. Now, you can listen to us every Wednesday and on the first and third Fridays at 5:30 p.m. Eastern Time. However, on Tuesdays and Thursdays, I host special pop-up episodes for somebody who's got a book launch, product launch, they launched their podcast, they have an event that they're promoting. Something is going on in this person's life, and we need to get the word out. So that's what we're going to do today. You can join our Facebook group on for the show. It's Life Transformation Radio Community. Join the Facebook group. You can also subscribe to the podcast wherever you're comfortable listening. iTunes, Stitcher, Spreaker, the Google Play Music app. You can subscribe to Blog Talk Radio. Never miss an episode, because on the show are impactful and amazing guests that are impacting everyone around them. My guest today does exactly that. Please help me welcome to the show my buddy Donnie Bovine. What's up, my friend?
Hey, what's going on, brother, man? Thanks for having me on the show, dude. I'm totally stoked about this one.
Dude, I am freaking pumped for this, man. It's going to be a great, great energy laden show. Like, we were, like, I was a guest on your podcast and freaking amazing host. So I get to return the favor, and it's going to be awesome.
Well, and it's perfect because I got that face for radio. So this is like perfect, setup for the both of us.
Perfect. Awesome. So Life Transformation Radio listeners, if anything you hear today resonates with you, you can go ahead and contact us at 657-383-1109. Again, if you are listening to us live, you can actually call into the show and talk to myself and talk to the guests at 657-383-1109. My team is standing by to field the calls so the trolls don't get in, because you never know who's going to call the show and say something crazy, and then I get flagged by iTunes. You never know. So this episode is titled The Formula for Success in Life and Business with Donnie Bovine. At 22, fresh out of the Marine Corps, Donnie landed his first straight commission sales job, and for 18 years, he learned what it took to be successful in sales, business, and life. At that youthful age, he thought he knew enough to survive in one of the toughest professions in the world, which is sales. He quickly realized that sales wasn't as easy as it looked. Though the years of trial and errors, struggling, and nearly going bankrupt, Donnie discovered the formula for success in life and business. Since then, he's used his unique success strategies to build an international business, get featured on major podcasts and internet TV shows, and help thousands of people get out of their own way and run like hell. Donnie is a speaker and coach, helping people who have lost their confidence unleash their inner badass so they can chase their destiny. Donnie is a national award-winning sales trainer. He's an author. He's a veteran and was named 40 Under 40 in 2016. His Facebook group and all of his social media profiles and his website are all there. You can subscribe to his newsletter for motivation, tips, and giveaways. All of the links are there. You can copy paste. Some of them are hyperlinked. So go ahead, check those out, connect with them. This is the dude you don't want to miss. So, dude, the first question after reading all that is why? Why go in the Marine Corps? Why? Like, what is your big why for what you do?
You know, I love that because I don't think enough people focus on what their why is. But here it is for me, man, is my why came to me later in life. And I'm going to come back and answer the why I went to the Marine Corps thing because it had a huge impact on the overall trajectory of my life. But literally one day, I'm at this point, I'm a national award-winning sales trainer. I've trained thousands of people in sales training. And I'm at this elite executive event. And now, to set the stage for this room, I'm a guest participant. I paid an exorbitant amount to be sitting in this room. And the keynote speaker that's standing in front of the room has got 50 of us that are in the audience. Now, to give you an idea, is every person in this room is a CEO, executive of a multi-million dollar company. So I went to this event to go prospecting so I could sit across from these other CEOs and whatnot and literally try and find clients. This event transformed me so much. I was sitting in the crowd, and the keynote speaker, he asked a question. And when he asked the question, I audibly responded and then went, oh, shit. I said that out loud and tried to play it off. And the question he asked was, can you put your company before yourself? Now, at the time, I was working in a business partnership, had a great business partner. We had a multi-million dollar enterprise. And during that time, I was in the process of buying his business out. And when he asked the question, that came from my subconscious mind, and I responded and said, no, I can't. And then, you know, tried to play it off. And what I realized at that moment is for my entire journey, I'd been living somebody else's dream. So I know. Literally on the drive home that night, I made the decision that I was going to go out on my own. I walked home, talked to my wife and said, babe, I'm starting my own company. She's like, doing what? And I said, no, I'm going to do what, you know, dad helped me figure out as a young kid at 14 years old. You know, dad handed me a book called Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill.
Nice.
And, you know, I can't say the book transformed my life, but it opened up the world to self-learning, learning about yourself, and it really got me into reading and understanding the world. And then since then, dude, I've found myself on some of the coolest stages in the world, talking to people, transforming lives, helping people find success, helping people get out of their own way. It all comes from everything I experienced over now 19 years of getting my teeth kicked in the sales calls and then training people from all walks of life. You know, it's a lot of people always say, you know, I want to be a sales guy because all I do is play golf and, you know, go to happy hours. And I'm like, I never experienced that type of sales life. But if I ever find that job, I'm holding on to it forever.
All right.
Oh,
nice.
So,
very cool.
Yeah, you know, it's just, it all comes down to I was given a couple of gifts, man, and the biggest gifts I got is I can just give a real raw. And I know a lot of people say this, but I can hit straight to the heart of the matter of what's holding somebody's back, hold somebody back from their greatness. I mean, I sat across from a CEO of a major company yesterday, and you know, within 5 minutes of the conversation, the CEO is crying in front of me. And it's not because of how harsh or how brash I went with him. It's I just hit him in the heart in his words. And his story is basically, you know, he's had a couple of companies over the years, but he's never run or done a company that was his dream, his vision. He always just kind of found himself doing whatever was in front of him and then being very successful with it. But he'd never done anything to really give back and never done anything to really, you know, get him fulfilled. And somehow just the gifts I was given, I was able to call him out on it really, really quickly. And it's just, it's wild to have a CEO of a major company break down in front of you because you can just get past all the filters and everything else when you're being real and authentic on your end.
Definitely.
Yeah.
No, man. Freaking nailed it. Totally true. I always tell people, you know, when I'm on stage speaking, that three things have to happen for you to connect with people. You have to be genuine, authentic, and transparent. Without those three, it's not going to happen, and people see right through your crap. And they always will, whether it be sales, whether it be you on stage, whatever. It doesn't matter what it is. Unless you're genuine, authentic, and transparent, you're just another person to them. You're just another
dude.
Face.
That's like now become like your gang
pitch.
Sign because now you just tell everybody they got to get GAT. G-A-T, GAT.
Get your GAT.
I want to see awesome. T-shirts made with that, but I want to be given, you know, since my buddy Donnie came up with GAT.
Dude, you know what's funny about that? You know what's funny about that? As I've been contemplating, because I always say live your brand. That's my thing. You know, I'm like, right. live your brand. Like, you'll hear at the end of the show what I say about it. But I always say live your brand. That's my thing. You know, and so when I go to like entrepreneur conferences and I'm speaking there, I'm like, you got to live your brand. You know, like branding isn't just a logo. It's not just a picture that you just, oh yeah, this is describes what I do. And here's this cool butterfly. And like your brand has to say without any words, like, what is that? What are you? What are you trying to be? You know, I said, dude, you got to live your brand. So I'm going to make a t-shirt company called LYB Clothing Inc. And it's going to be an affirmation t-shirt company. It's going to put, you're going to put affirmations
on your t-shirt. And I'm going to buy the first one, but long as it says, get.
That's going to be like big capital letters, G-A-T, say get GAT. Because the milk thing, right? Got milk. Then all of a sudden it's like got tacos, got money, got this, you know, whatever. It's going to say get GAT. So people are going to be like, what's that mean? It's like genuine, authentic, transparent. So it's going to be like this huge letdown for people because they think it'd be some like badass like motto or something. You're like, it's going to be all woo woo. You got to be genuine and authentic. Like, get out of here. Right? And people are going to like lose their mind. But yeah, I think that's funny, dude. We're doing it.
Well, you know, an interesting thought on your brand, because this came up huge in my sales world. Once I understood what your brand really is, and this really became enlightening for me. So hear me out. Marketing is what you say you do, right? So marketing is your brochures, your logos, your image, your slogans, your sayings, your everything else. That's marketing in my mind. Your brand is what everybody else says you do, right? So think about it this way. Mm-hmm. Your message, what you're trying to tell people, what you're trying to convey, that's kind of your marketing, right? That's how you're telling it. What they interpret and are able to tell others about you, that's your brand. Whether that's your personal brand, your company's brand, or whatever else. So when you think about it, is – as you're looking at how you're putting yourself out there in a market space, it's as important to make sure the messages you're conveying are being conveyed back in the proper mechanism when other people are touting your story. Once I understood that, dude, it was a game changer for my business because I realized that my brand and reputation early on in my career wasn't as strong as it needed to be. Because I wasn't focused on what other people thought of my businesses and services.
Boom. Yeah, I think a lot of people, you know, they make this company. They say, I'm going to do this. This is my product. And they rush to market.
Right.
They don't kind of think it through, right? Like, there's a great book, if you haven't read this book, by my friend Christopher Lockhead called Play Bigger. And he's a category design expert. He says you have to have product, you have to have company, and you have to have category all at the same time. Without one of them, it doesn't work. You have to have all three at the same time. So you design your category along with – and your category is basically you causing a problem. Because everybody says like, – what do we tell people as speakers? What problem do you solve? What problem? He's the reverse. He's like, no. I want you to create a problem. I want you to create a problem that only you can solve. And when I heard that –
I like it.
Really? He's like, only you can solve it. And you position the market to receive your problem. And even though you do this, okay, you need to condition them to receive it. Some people aren't going to receive it. Some people are going to be, nope, I don't know what that is. I don't want to do that. But it works. And the category kings like Amazon, Uber, Netflix, I mean, crushing it. And they're well, you getting know, new categories.
You know, well, here's what's awesome about that is early in my sales career, really when I was in the commercial printing world, the reason we were able to win a lot of deals is when you sell something like commercial printing, nobody has anything unique. I mean, everybody has the same equipment. They have the same delivery. They have the same turnaround, the same qualities. So there is nothing different, right, between one competitor and the other. What we would do is we'd go in and come up with conceptual ideas on how to do something different. So like Mary Kay Corporate was my largest account when I sold commercial printing. Okay. And
like Mary Kay?
Mary Kay, not the little gals. The little gals bought their business cards through my company, and I landed this account. Now, madam, we all had the same equipment, same technology, this, that, and the other. But what I found out was that they were using at the time like 9 different printers to handle all their stuff. And they were using different print sources, this, that, and different people. And so all I did is said, guys, what if I could take and put all that solutions on one umbrella? And they said, well, nobody can do that. And I said, well, we'll build an online, you know, portal. And this is before this technology was even on the market. And said, we'll build an online portal where people can order through a website. And then we can control the back end. And then we'll print a whole bunch of blank shells and come through. And Mary Kay's policy was anytime they came up with a print project that was going to be that large, they had to go out to bid. Well, I knew nobody else could handle this technology, so we wrote the proposal for Mary Kay to send out to bid, and we wrote it because we knew in such a way that we knew nobody else could touch it. So I love the fact that you're manufacturing a problem, but it's the same way. If you're in a marketplace where everybody's competing and stacking up in the same thing, find a unique way that nobody else can do. Mm-hmm. Get creative, and you own that market. And dude, that ended up being a $2 million account for me. Printing all the Mary Kay stuff. So think about it. Anybody who does the Mary Kay multi-level side of it, selling the makeups and brushes, if they order business cards, letterhead, brochures, flyers, that all came through me. We did that account for 4 or 5 years. And it was all because we just figured out a unique way to hit it that nobody else could do.
Very cool. You know, I think that's, that's category design, man, right there. Like, you create, you know, the problem. Like, and it's funny because it's the problem that nobody knew existed. Like, oh, I didn't even think about that. Like, huh. And so, I mean, it becomes the new way of doing things, you know. And once you,
absolutely,
because what Christopher Locke says is that either you position yourself or you will be positioned. John Maxwell is the leadership speaker. No one's going to unseat him until he dies. Mark Sanborn's right behind him. He's right behind him. John Maxwell is the leadership speaker. Tony Robbins has cornered the market on motivation. So now, Tony Robbins, if you look, 2 years ago, he was a motivational speaker. He was a transformational speaker. Now, he's a master life strategist. He dropped speaker altogether. And now he's starting to go through it because everybody's flooded the market with, I'm a motivational speaker. I'm a motivational speaker. Because that's what people know, because Tony Robbins coined the phrase, right? And so event planners just use that. But Tony Robbins, if you look at all his stuff now, is called a master life strategist. And there's these formulas, you know, that you're going to talk about that you can figure out what the market needs and then position yourself. Like, I am a master resilience implementer. I implement resilience skills in people's lives. But I'm also a performance enhancement expert. So I go in and consult with different companies. And I'm in the military that I go into, like, different roles and responsibilities of what everybody should be doing, and that's not right, and that's not working, and, you know, and make it happen, you know, get more proficiency and efficiency and all that stuff. So when I started, like, I'm going to be a speaker, started that talk, I got to figure out what's going to happen. So talk about some of that stuff, you know, like you became a speaker, but you weren't just a speaker, right?
Yeah, no. So it's funny how the way I got on stage was not by choice. So as I was selling commercial printing and got really big in networking, people kept asking me if I would come into rooms and start teaching how to do networking. And I didn't even know that was a thing. You know, I just figured out how to become a networker because it was easier to grow a ton of contacts and allow them to make introductions to sell while I cranked the phones and kicked in doors. So I just kept getting asked to get back on stage and teach how to actually network. Well, that led me through my career that I constantly found myself on stage. And then, of course, once I realized I could make money off of being on stage, I was completely hook, line, and sinker. But the interesting thing is my last career before I started my own company was being a sales trainer. And I went into the company and I said, look, I don't want to be on stage. I don't want to be a presenter. I don't want to be a coach, a trainer. I just want to go sell. That's all I want to do is go sell. And the guy who I went to work with, he looked at me and said, good, because I need nothing but a sales guy. Perfect. 2 years into working for the guy, he comes to me and goes, okay, the business has grown too fast. I wasn't prepared for the scale that we've gotten into. You're now going to have to be a trainer. And I'm like, shit. Now here we go again. Now I got to go back in front of the freaking room. So right. for the next 6 years, I traveled all over. And found myself on just a bunch of different stages. And here's the interesting thing is everything comes back to sales in my world, just mainly because that's a lot of what I know. But what I realized is over those years, even though I was talking about sales, I was really talking about how do people just get out of their own damn way in life so they can go do what they want to do. Right. You know, everything that we want, according to, you know, Henry Ford's famous phrase, is on the other side of fear. But I think it's a little bit more than that. I think it's, you know, we're so influenced by our upbringing. We're so influenced by our immediate circles. We're so influenced by our current family. And we're so influenced by our coworkers that it's not about overcoming fear. It's about desire and taking action towards that desire and actually going for it. You know, two things destroy people on their journey, because I believe we're all on a journey. And I love that thought process, because the more you think about it as a journey, then everything that happens to you, whether good or bad, is just a trial, right? It's like, you know, Gandalf right. the wizard showed up in your life and said, all right, we're going to go throw a ring in Mordor. So if you look at it from that perspective, you know, having crazy shit happen to your life, like you lose your car, you lose your family, you know, you get a divorce, dude, that's just like, you know, you got your ass whooped by a troll, right? You're going to learn a skill set and you're going to move the hell on and keep moving forward. And so if people will just adamantly start looking at life and going, okay, where am I? Where do I want to go? And how do I get there? Right. And start taking action and move forward. You'll be amazed at how much they start transforming their lives. But here's what happens. They set a goal. They set a mission. They set a desire and they want to move towards a particular area. Well, I think inside of us, we all have this little damn troll. Right. Excuse me, a little gremlin that lives inside of us. And every time we take a step forward, he gets pissed off. Right. Because he likes his comfortable world, his comfortable friends, his comfortable mindset, right? He doesn't want you to take risks. He doesn't want you to grow. He doesn't want you to challenge and do things. He wants to stay in his humble misery. So every time you put yourself out there, right, this little gremlin, you know, he jumps on your shoulder and he says things like, remember the last time you tried to be a public speaker? Yeah, that sucked. You remember the last time you tried to make that cold call? Dude, you blew it. Remember the last time you tried to go for that big sales deal? Yeah, you sucked at it, right? And every time you put yourself forward, he steps forward and goes, you're not good enough. You're not strong enough and you're not fast enough. And this all comes because that dude is lived his entire life has been lived right inside of ours. He knows the good about us. He knows the bad about us. He knows the great about us. He knows everything to keep us lockstep in our perfect little comfort area. And he doesn't want you to go big, because if he goes big, then he's got to get out of his comfort zone and he hates it. Mm-hmm. Right. So every time you put yourself out there, man, that dude just knows how to throw a right hook and set you on your ass. So I tell everybody, the only way to get past that gremlin, the only way to find success and actively go for it, is you got to punch the gremlin in the damn face and start moving forward. You know, and I'm 100% serious. I love this analogy. And I was driving home from work one day, and I'm like, how can I explain how people can get past their comfort zone? And once upon a time, I was a bartender. And I remember as a bartender, you know, we had these VIP rooms in these very high-end bars that I bartended at. And to get past the VIP, you know, you had to walk up to the bouncer. He's got the red velvet rope to actually get back in these rooms where you're talking, you know, high-dollar drinks and high rollers and the whole nine yards. And that thought crossed my mind when I was thinking about comfort zones, I thought, well, that's it. You know, your comfort zone, I want you to imagine – is you're sitting in the middle of a circle of light, right? And all around that light is this big red velvet rope, okay? And at the edge of that rope, there's this big-ass bouncer, okay? Mm-hmm. And every time you try to get to the edge of your comfort zone, that bouncer kind of crosses his arms and says, yeah, no, dude, not happening today. Well, what I realize is that bouncer's not a bouncer at all. He's really just a big bully. And, Sean, how do you deal with a big bully when you walk up to him? What's the first thing you do to a bully? Well, you punch him square in the face.
Okay. Right? I was going to say, yeah, get bully back, I guess. Bully him back.
No, no. When you walk up to a big-ass bully and they're picking you, they're giving you hell, they're telling you can't pass, first thing you do is you knock a bully in the face. They go crying off to mama, right? And then the rope drops. So when you walk up to that bully, you punch him square in the face. He falls on his ass, right? The ropes drop, and you step forward. And now your comfort zone expands a little bit. The problem is that bully knows he's a bouncer. But he gets pissed and steps back up, and he crosses his arms again, right? And then the rope comes right back around you. Now you got two choices. If you don't punch that bouncer again and step forward, then he's going to start moving your comfort zone back. So it's the same thing. To take on the gremlin, to beat the bouncer, you've got to keep punching. You've got to keep moving forward. You've got to keep taking action and move strictly towards a unique vision so you can get where you want to go. Does that all make sense?
There you go. Yeah, man. I'm following. I'm like picturing like a bouncer. They got it. As soon as you said gremlins, I was like instantly transformed into like 1980, was it 87 or 88
don't throw
or whatever it was.
Water like, on them, man.
Gremlins. Crazy. So talk about a transformational moment. You know, the show was all about, you know, moments like Mothers Against Drunk Driving was started because, you know, her daughter was killed by a drunk driver. The Make-A-Wish Foundation was because, you know, a young boy wanted to be a motorcycle cop, you know, and they granted a wish and then one more and it became a thing. Most of the movements, you know, ever were because of people's willingness to go through, not just go through, but grow through these moments. And so talk about a transformational moment where, you know, maybe it was an awesome thing, maybe it was a bad thing, whatever, but it literally directed your steps and put you on the path to what you're doing right now.
Well, for me, there's two times in my life that I can recall, and both happened to him early in my life. And the first one I already mentioned is when my father got me to read Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. Right, that one opened up my life. The second one is very interesting. So, my sister-in-law grew up next to Gwen Stefani.
No way.
And, yeah, totally. So grew up neighbors. A whole nine yards. The Stefanis are all their friends and everything. Okay. This is before they got really, really big. Right. So my brother and sister getting married. And I remember asking, you know, my parents, I'm like, why is the devil here? And literally her drummer just had two spiked, his hair was spiked up in two sides. And so he looked like the devil in a big, huge Catholic church, you know, and they're full dressed up as No Doubt, you know, at this event. True story. This is when I knew I was going to be a public speaker. My sister-in-law had asked me if I would read a Bible verse at their church. Now, I'm not a church-going guy by any means, but I said yes, I'd absolutely do it for them because it was their wedding. Now, what they didn't tell me was how many people were going to be at this damn wedding. I mean, so picture this. There is thousands, it feels like, and I don't know the actual number, but like thousands of people at this church. I mean, No Doubts, full bands there. There's some other people, celebrities that are there. It's just large. Now, here I am I don't know, I'm like 16 years old, and I've now got to deliver a speech in front of this entire audience. Well, my mom, bless her heart, okay, was a smart damn woman, still is. And she made me, and I told her, you know, I was young, I'm just going to memorize all this stuff. I've got this, no problem, I'll memorize it. I'm just reading a few lines, no big deal. Well, she made me write out the verses out on an index card and put it in my pocket. So here I am, it's my turn to go up and speak in front of the entire room. And as I walk out to the podium, I'm kind of looking down as I walk up. I walk up to the podium, I look up, I see the crowd, and I freeze. I mean, I'm frozen in my place. I can't talk. I can't think. I don't even know what the hell I'm supposed to do. And I'm trying to figure it out. I'm freaking out. And I find mom in like the second row. And mom is sitting there and she's patting her chest, right? She keeps banging on her chest. And I'm like, why is my mom hitting herself in the boob? And I can't figure it out. What I realized was the entire time she was actually trying to tell me the freaking index card's in my pocket. It finally clicks. I grab the index card. I read the first sentence of the index card. And then I just put the card down and I go. What I didn't know happened is after the verses, I gave a speech. And I talked for like an additional 5 minutes. I still to this day have no idea what I talked about. No clue. And I don't necessarily even remember talking. But that was the point in my life where I really realized, holy shit, this is something that I need to do. It took me years to pursue it, to actually go for it. But it was all because of the knowledge that it can be done. And it was because I was stacked into a situation that I'd never been in before. And that scenario played a lot in my life as I moved through of, dude, sometimes you just got to let go and see what happens. And then you'll find yourself doing things you've never done before. And it's just been a cool experience on my ride as I continue to move forward with everything. So between, you know, stalling in a speech and, you know, watching a 90-year-old woman hand my brother a key to his apartment because the best man gets up in front of the speech, and I love telling, he's going to kill me for this. Best man gets up in front of the wedding party, stands on stage and said, I know Scott, before he gets married, has been around a bunch of women and ladies in his life, but now he's going to be married, one woman. So if you've ever, you know, been given like a key to his apartment, would you bring it back? And literally like hundreds of ladies get up and bring keys back to him. And one of them was like this 90-year-old grandma. One was like a, you know, a 12-year-old little girl. Of course, it was all a joke, gosh. You know, but everybody's bringing right. The key back. It was awesome. So
that is freaking awesome. So what do you do now, man? After, I mean, you got into sales, you transitioned from military life to civilian, and, you know, you're a speaker and coach, and but like what exactly do you do?
Yeah, no, so I do a lot of
how do you do it?
Yeah, absolutely. I do a lot of speaking. A lot of it comes back into the sales world. Everybody wants to know about sales, and I always twist it over to what I really want to speak out to get out of your own way. So, outside of speaking, I do a lot of coaching. I do a lot of private training. So with my coaching clients, most times what I find is I got badasses that have seen success in their life already, right? They've done something. And they've gotten to a certain point, and I can't even tell you, it's not a financial number, it's not, you know, a level or a title of position. They know it when they sit across from me, that they've seen success in their life. But for whatever reason, they've hit some sort of brick wall that they just don't know how to move past or get past. So I take people through a process of you know, really walking them through their life's journey and figuring out what are those things that happened in their time and their journey that have been holding them back. And then we use that information, because I believe your story is really the message you should be delivering to the world. And so if you're using that, if you understand your story, if you understand where you come from, you can use that to move forward. So I take people through a series of coaching sessions, and we work specifically on how they can get out of their own way and move forward and keep kicking ass in life. And what's funny to me is people aren't used to being spoken to in a very real and authentic manner. I don't pull punches, right? So when I sit across from somebody, if they're being a dumbass, I'm telling them, dude, you're being a dumbass.
Yeah.
Right. You know, if they're, you know, not stepping up and doing the game plan that we've laid out, I flat out say, dude, pull your head out of your ass. Do you want to do this? I mean, one of my clients the other day kept telling me he wants to break into this certain level and do this very certain thing, and he wasn't doing it. He wasn't working forward. And I looked at him, and I'm going to make up a name, and I said, you know, Mike, how old are your grandchildren? And he said, well, they're various age. I said, well, give me an idea because I don't remember. And he said they're like 6, 7, and 12, right in that range. I said, you know, you're an asshole. And he goes, what do you mean? I said, you realize you've never taken those grandkids to freaking Disney World. And he looked at me for a second and goes, what the hell does that have to do with anything? I said, you're telling me you want to go badass. You're telling me you want to do all this stuff. But you're not even working for it. You're not doing it. You're not going. And I said, you can't even afford right now to take your kids to Disney World. And he looked at me, gets welled up in the eyes, and goes, dude, you're a prick. But you're right. And then we got back to work. You know, so sometimes it's really about hitting people straight between the eyes and getting brutally honest with them. And a lot of the coaching sessions and things we do, they're so fun because we come up with concepts and ideas. You know, one of my clients is an artist, and, you know, she's a good artist, and she's selling some of her work, but it's not fast enough and scale enough to where she wants to be. So one of the ideas we came up with is, you know, if she had a bigger studio, she could do more things, but she couldn't afford the overhead of a studio. So through one of our sessions, we literally came up with the idea of renting out space inside of a studio for other artists, that's a word, other artists, and can teach them how to
and you're a speaker.
Do their – yeah, right. And I speak just like this on stage, true. Bring in all these other artists. The artists then can use the studio to do their painting, everything else. They sell their art in the front end and like the lobby walk-in area. And now she's got a full turning business of income coming in from other artists. She's selling her art and allowing other artists to make money from the studio in the front end. And now she's got a guy going around and getting artwork put up in business offices that is changed out once a month. And oh, people's customers can buy the artwork. So we created all these revenue streams by just rethinking her business all the way along. So I do things like that. I do a lot of group coaching, a lot of nonprofits. I go in and do communication, get out of your own way, motivational workshops and seminars. And we'll go through a series. I've got a couple of clients that I'm doing an ongoing. I'm out there once a month doing huge, cool strategy sessions, not team building, but more of real world conversation, which doesn't happen in corporate America often.
Right.
And then, you know, on the end of it all, I just launched the podcast on top of it. So a lot of moving parts going. But as my wife says, I'm crazy, but it looks like I'm having fun.
Heck yeah, man. Very, very cool. And you have your podcast.
Yep. So yeah, thank you to you. No, thanks. So for those listening, Sean was actually the first guest on my podcast. I made him cry twice. So sorry about that. No, I'm kidding. I did get you to talk about some pretty serious shit that happened in your life, though.
Yeah, man. Yeah. It was pretty deep. I didn't think it was going to go there. It was pretty deep.
Well, and that's what I've been trying to tell all my guests as I continue on is, you know, people don't want to hear the things you want to tell them. They want to hear the real stuff, right? So that's what I'm aiming for on the show is to get people to get raw. I mean, I get to have a guy coming up that the first time he admitted that he almost committed suicide, you know, on the show. And, you know, there's a couple of other stories that people are going to hear about as it continues to go on that we just get real and raw. You know, the show that I know that's coming in on Tuesday,
The girl is an absolute health badass. And Tuesday morning, the same day her show's airing on mine, she's going through a major, major, potentially life or death surgery, with some health issues and things she's going on with. So the goal of the podcast was to hear people's journeys, but I want to make sure that I got to hear the real story. And got people to hear just some really cool things. So yeah, I'm launching a show every day. You can find me everywhere that you can find a podcast. So of course, iTunes, Stitcher, you know, I don't have Blog Talk. That's what I'm going to have to check into. I have that everywhere.
I contacted Google Play.
Yeah,
I contacted
them
to get my show on to Google Play. So it's on, because Blog Talk Radio, since I host it on Blog Talk Radio, it goes directly to iTunes, like every other thing, and it goes to Stitcher.
Yep.
Like, that's it. But then Blog Talk has now merged with Spreaker, so the show's on Spreaker. But now, if you Google the show, you can find it on Player FM, TuneIn, and, of course, I did it on Google, you know. But as a matter of fact, if anybody's listening, I'll give you a quick hack. This is insane. I don't know how nobody knows this, but this is crazy. If you're an author, Amazon gives you an author central page. So what I do is I don't even share my book, but I share the author central page, which is where you know, everything is. You know, it has your photos, your videos, like it's just like another like Facebook page. It's another like a MySpace, like, you know, whatever. So there's a space in there where it says blog, and Amazon doesn't decipher between blogs and not blogs, but they all have the same thing, an RSS feed. So I take my radio show right here from Blog Talk Radio. I take my radio show RSS feed. I plug it into Amazon, and my show is now on Amazon itself, like the platform Amazon. It's right next to my book. And so if you go to my author central page, or you look at like where the book is, you click on the book, you can actually click on my name to know more about the author, and boom, all my stuff opens up.
Oh, that's killer.
All my stuff opens up. And so, yeah, man, it's super, super crazy. I get 200 to 226 more downloads or listens just from doing that. So if you ever write a book, you have to put your RSS feed, if you're a podcaster, on Amazon. And because it's there, now Alexa picks it up.
Oh, that's huge. That's huge. Love
huge,
that.
Man. Yep. I had to figure out a way to get, because I'm always trying to figure out, like, I'm always trying to forecast things out. You know, okay, like, if this is going to happen, okay, what do you think the potential things are going to happen, right? So I do a little bit of research. What are the applications? What's going to happen with this? And then Alexa came out, and I was like, boom. And then Google Home comes out, I'm like, boom. So my podcast is everywhere now.
That's
search
awesome.
For it,
I
like
love
on it. Google, whatever. Like, I already foreshadowed the things that were going to happen, if that's even a word. And yeah, man.
And
so,
he's a speaker.
We just make up our own stuff.
Here's the crazy thing is, when I started the podcast, I had no idea there were so many freaking podcast platforms.
Hosts?
You know, yeah. I mean, because I did mine on Libsyn, which is
Blueberry.
Burberry, yeah.
So many.
A ton of them, yeah, that you can do them on. But I can tell you, man, it's been a lot of fun, the conversations that I've had so far. And then I'm popping in, you know, every once in a while, I'll do a show where it's strictly me talking about a lot of things I talk about on stage. So, you know, like this Friday's episode's coming up is a me 100% talking about you can't run away from it. And it's literally me diving into the times in my life I didn't take life head on. I actually tried to run away from it. And one of them being, you know, my time going to the Marine Corps and finally realizing that you couldn't run away from it. So that's a fun episode. I'm looking forward to that one, Aaron.
Very cool, man. So as we come to it's already been 45 minutes. That's crazy. Who's been your biggest influencers, man? Are you a Gary Vee guy? Are you a
hell yeah.
Tony Robbins?
Hell yeah.
Or like who's your influencers, man?
You know, here's the thing is, I'm not a big Tony Robbins guy. And the reason being is I'm a huge Jim Rohn fan. And not the Jim Rohn from ESPN, right? Jim Rohn.
Yeah, totally.
I've said it before, and people are like, the dude from ESPN? No, not the dude from ESPN, right? So, back in the day, Jim Rohn really kind of built the self-help world. You know, you had Napoleon Hill do it first, and then they proved all his stuff was bogus. Like, he never met Carnegie, you know, along the way.
Wow.
Well, yeah, Jim Rohn actually created the whole workshop seminar and bringing all the badasses right when like Zig Ziglar was getting big. Brought in Zig and Brian Tracy back in the day, and Charlie Tremendous Jones, and just some of the older time guys. So I grew up on all of them, but now some of the newer influencers is I'm really listening to a lot of the millennials and their stories nowadays, but Gary Vee's got to be one of my top influencers right now that I'm listening to. Not for necessarily what he's saying, even though I think he says some good stuff, but some of his shit's a little silly. but because of how he's able to produce so much content on a regular basis, and he's literally proving that content will destroy everybody else. And he's proving it time and time again. And I love his philosophy on he's using his own beliefs and philosophy to conquer the world and make ridiculous amounts of money through becoming a content thing. But more importantly, I love how he's protected his family all the way through the journey. And you don't hear about him, see about him, you know, so it's all been business for him, which I've always thought was really, really, really cool.
Awesome,
and then, of course,
man.
You, Sean. Of course, you. I mean, you influenced me.
Very nice. You had me going there. Definitely love Gary Vee stuff. I think he gets a little silly. I think he's a little repetitious. Great stuff, though. I like, you know what I like? It's not what he says, but what he does. Like, he does the vlog. He shows people like walking through, and people are like it's a behind the scenes thing that, you know, that's what I love though. Have you ever been in an event and the speaker gets on stage and he talks for 30 minutes about how you have to have a great mindset, but doesn't actually tell you how to have a mindset?
Yeah.
He just tells
you never gets
practical
at all. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. He's like, you gotta be great and you gotta be amazing. And you got to be all these things. Because if you don't, your life will suck. And if you don't, then you got to be awesome. Thank you for your time. And you're like, I learned nothing.
Yeah.
Like that was,
yeah, but
what
it,
was that?
But
I got no strategy.
That's the whole marketing method right now is everybody's doing these webinar things. And you sign up to watch one of these webinars. And it's 40 minutes of me telling you my story of, you know, how I overcame
it.
I give you one nugget and now sign up for my course to become blah, blah, blah. I'm like, shit. Just tell people. I mean – It's asinine, you know, the things and people are doing nowadays with all the stuff. And I think the probably for me the most compelling thing that Gary talks about is you better have a business because you know, the next economic downturn, I agree with him based on some conversations with some heavy influencer friends of mine, is we're going to have another pop. We're going to have another burst. We're going to get it kicked in the face again with the economy. It's just tradition, it's history, it always happens. And if you're going to see a lot of the words, because I hate the word entrepreneur, because I don't think people understand what an entrepreneur really is. You know, entrepreneurs being traded out right now, like MLM was back in the day, is it's just the new cool thing to do. Because you can,
right?
You know, as an entrepreneur, you can set your own hours. You can make all the money in the world you want to. You can work when you want. You know, you can work anywhere. You know, all this BS that's just spun out there. And what people are going to find is they don't have a legitimate business. When the world goes to shit, they're going to have to go get a job, just like happened at the dot-com burst back in the day. That people went through. So hold on to your asses, people. You know, whatever dream you're chasing, go create a revenue stream for that dream and keep plugging away at it.
There you go. Freaking awesome.
Yeah.
So, man, this is the part of the show, man, where we talk about the rest of your 2018. What are you creating? What are you doing? Where can people find you? So what's up for 2018?
Well, the biggest, most exciting thing that I'm looking forward to is Ireland. So coming up in September, I landed an engagement in Ireland where I'll be spending time with a multimillionaire mentorship group that I'm really looking forward to, that I'm going to be one of the keynote speakers at. So really looking forward to that. Going to take the wife with me to that event, and we're going to spend a little bit of time out there. But I've got a ton of speaking engagements coming up, and I'm booking a couple more down the pipes. I've got some in my hometown. I've got some fun ones coming up where I got my keynote that I get brought in for a lot of times, which is Unleashing Your Inner Badass. So I'll be doing that a couple times in my hometown and around the Metroplex I live in and a couple of other areas. So doing that, the podcast is going to keep cranking up and blowing and going. I'm really impressed of how well it's done so far, mainly due because of how badass the guest I've had on there, except for the guy who did the first episode. He sucks, but guys, listen to everybody else.
Savage.
You know, I've got my ebook out there that talks about journaling. I truly believe if people don't journal, they'll never find the success they want to find in life. So I have an ebook that's up on my website called That's Not How You Journal, Jackass. And people always ask me, how the hell did you come up with that name? And I was early on in my sales career, and I've always had a coach. I've always had mentors in my life. And I was in this really bad sales slump, and I was just sucking. My sales were horrible. My numbers were way down, and I'm throwing this huge, just poor, pitiful me pity party, and life sucks and all this. And my coach, you know, I had my assigned session where I'm going to sit down with my coach, and I'm telling him all this shit. And he looks at me and he goes, so, Donnie, I appreciate you telling me all this, but are you journaling? It's like, I'm not going to journal. Who freaking journals? And he goes, what do you think of when you think of journaling? I'm like, dude, that's something like a 12-year-old little girl does, drawing pictures and love you notes. I'm like, I'm not going to do that. And he looked right back at me. He goes, that is not how you journal, you jackass. And I said, you know, if I ever write a book, that's exactly what I'm going to title it. And basically what I discovered was I was journaling to prove that journaling didn't work. And once I discovered that I could change my mindset about journaling, I started journaling to prove it did work. And then everything that came with that. And then in the book, I teach people how I learned to journal and how to walk through it. And then I talk to them about, you know, the things journaling did for me. I mean, we bought our dream house, which it just lucked out. My wife and I both got everything we wanted for in that, you know, I was able to build a second house for my in-laws. And it's not about money for me on the journey, but it gave us freedom because I was able to get the thoughts out of my own head. And I believe the reason journaling is so impactful is if you don't remove the thoughts from your head, they become stories that you start believing and then stories you start living. So journaling really helped me beat back the gremlin and really be more successful in life. So that's a free download on my website. Just donniebovine.com/jackass-journal. You can go get that for free. Yes, I'm going to ask you for your email address, but that's so I can send you all my podcast episodes. You know, at least I'm upfront of what I'm doing with it.
Right.
You know,
do you do RSS feed email campaigns?
Yeah, 100%. So every time I do an email, I'm sending them out.
Cannot
every
how many people don't do these.
So
how are they not doing these?
It's completely asinine. Because you've got a following of people. And that's what I tell people a lot of times in coaching sessions is I believe everybody's a badass. You have people that look up to you. You already got people that see you as better than you do yourself. So just start becoming the person everybody already thinks you are, and life a lot simpler. So but with that following, if you got your email addresses, dude, that's gold. Send that shit out to them. You know, even your episode, before I launched it, I'd hit a certain level of downloads. Soon as I did the RSS thing, I tripled the downloads. It was crazy, absolutely crazy. So, you know, and I got a lot of private events and things that I'm working on. So, and I my business went international with a lot of my coaching clients. So I'm doing a lot of overseas coaching via Zoom, which has been fun.
Very
so
cool.
A lot of cool things. A lot of cool things.
Yeah, man. Very cool. So, here's our shameless plug, man. Plug your friends, quotes, websites, Facebook, products, movies, any links. Like, this is your time to shine. Shameless plug. Go.
So, of course, my website, DonnieBovine.com. The podcast is up on the SuccessChamp.com. You can get it there because it's called Donnie Success Champions. You can find me on Instagram, which my Instagram account's blowing up at Donnie.Bovine. Find me there. Find me on LinkedIn at Donnie Bovine. Find my Facebook group, which I love, called Success Champion on Facebook. Come find me there. And then just badasses to watch coming up through the pipes. There's a gal I love dearly named Judy Hoberman. She has a program called Selling in a Skirt. You should totally check her out. She just launched a book called Walking on a Glass Ceiling. Huge. You should totally check that book out. Good shit. And my podcast is hot right now. Or you through talk about speaking engagements, man. Come follow. With any, just do it. If I can help out, or it turns into we travel along. So I don't think I help. I'll tell you, no problem. You're not going to be a good fit for you. So yeah, come find me in all of those areas. Oh, I guess on Twitter too, you can find me at Donnie Bovine. I'm out there. Snapchat, I'm on there. Vero, I'm on there. You know,
everywhere.
So
connect with him. Gotta connect with this dude, man. This dude is just. I mean, he's gonna take you to that next level. We always talk about HNL, whole nother level. So as we close, can you deliver your best nugget of knowledge that will motivate, transcend, and inspire someone to take action today?
Inside of you, everybody has an internal flame. For somebody, that flame is a campfire. For some, it's a flickering tiny flame. And for others, it's a bonfire. Go so big and loud in life that you inspire others. Ignite that flame so large that when you go for it, other people light up by your sheer badassery. Unleash your inner badass and just flat out go for it.
Love it. Boom. Way to end the show, dude. So, love it. You freaking rock. Having a blast, like, learning more about you and, you know, doing the speaking thing and all that. So, everyone listening, all of his stuff is in the show notes, the Facebook, Instagrams, Twitter, like everything's in there. Like, connect with this dude, ask him any question you want. He's going to answer it. He's like the expert in this stuff. So, got to connect with this dude. Thanks for coming on the show, man. I really, really appreciate it. And I look forward to, you know, continuing our connection and you know, learning from each other and just freaking being an all around badass.
Yeah, dude. Stay in touch and let's keep rocking and rolling. And for too long, you know, we're gonna have to grab, you know, like a cigar or something just to toast off how awesome this journey's been.
Yeah, man. Dude, absolutely, absolutely. So Life Transformation Radio listeners, another amazing guest, another impactful episode. If anything resonated with you, please get in touch with Donnie Bovine. You can also subscribe to Life Transformation Radio on iTunes, Stitcher, Player FM, TuneIn, Blog Talk Radio. Subscribe right here. You go to the Google Play Music app. It goes right to your phone. Never miss an episode. You can also join Life Transformation Radio community right on Facebook. As we close the show, I always say, live your brand. Find opportunities every day to live out the core values that you have deep in your heart. I call that living your brand. So until next episode, Have a great night.